Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Theologically Speaking with Jose and Danielle Dorsey. I am Danielle, and I am here to introduce Jose this week. The reason I'm introducing him is this week we're talking about leading and loving fathers, husbands, and I would like to first pray for all of the leading and loving husbands because I think that they need it most. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us another opportunity to bring your word to the people. Today I would like to pray over all of the husbands so that they will see your guidance and lead the family the way in the direction that you want them to. Heavenly Father, they are under attack. There are a lot of families out here who do not have that cover because they're under the attack because everyone knows that to get to the house, they have to first go through him. So I pray that you protect him from all of these attacks, especially those that have been called by you to give your word to the people because they are under attack for that as well. Today we bring your word to them, and we pray that we are removed and that you are brought into focus so that everyone can follow you and not us. In Jesus' name, amen. So now I would like to introduce Jose, loving husband and friend and confidant to all of you.
Well, it's I got to say it feel interesting being introduced on my own show, but thank you very much for doing that.
Well, I
ain't trying to make sense. I guess it's not just my show now. I mean, I do have a co-host. Thank you for introducing me. I noticed you didn't use words like bae and boo, but it's okay. We go get it. No, listen. This week, we're kind of continuing on from last time that we had opportunity to talk. I was listening to the show, did a really good job actually expounding on the wives or the submissive wives' responsibilities. And so here we are now at a place where we are dealing also with the husbands. Such a shame it would be if we just allowed ourselves to just thump women down or continue to beat women against the head with the Bible, and we don't actually bring it into full perspective. I don't believe, Danny, that the Bible gives men a right to just browbeat women. I think God has actually given us leadership and charge, but there's a certain protocol that he's given us for how we should lead. And that's something that we try to employ in our family structure. And ultimately, we're praying and hoping that today someone receives some information that it helps strengthen them as a loving husband. So one of the things that we're quick to say when we go to the book of Ephesians, we talk about that submissive wife. And we get happy and we start dancing and shouting because we think that, you know, oh, we got you, woman. We got you. But the reality is there are also responsibilities. If you look at Ephesians 5 and 23, it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now, right there, we start feeling a sense of glory and uppityness. But the reality is that comes with a lot of responsibility. It comes with a lot of responsibility. And right now, y'all, I just want to let y'all can't see this, but Danny is using my Bible on my phone when she got her own phone.
First of all, I'm keeping it so the phone doesn't close
okay.
on you. It
okay.
wasn't using your Bible, so don't be putting me on Front Street in front of all these people.
Okay, I ain't going to put you on Front Street, honestly. In case you haven't noticed yet, one of the things that we want to do at our show is be very organic, very raw, come to you right where you are, and just be ourselves as we relate to the subject matter at hand, and still keep it theological. So, as she said during her prayer, one of the things that we find, why don't we do this? Why don't you tell us why did you pray for the loving leading husbands?
Like I said, I feel like the one thing that is under attack in society is the husbands. No one wants to see a two-parent household because statistics show that a single-parent household has more problems. And outside of statistics, we can say in our own personal thing, I think my main reason for praying was the personal attacks that I've seen you endure recently. Not only as well, and I think it's more you're the head of the household, but you've also been called into ministry, and the attacks that I've seen you go through, they weigh heavy on the household, because when you're attacked, the whole household is under attack. And I feel like that's why the prayer is so important. If only the listeners knew just how much you've endured, heck, in the last year, in the last 5 years, and I think it's more so because you're a target. You're a target. Nobody wants a strong man in the house because they want to be able to infiltrate those houses, and if they have someone like you in the house, they know they can't pull that mess to bring it ghetto. But
you did pull your East Side. She pulled East Side Detroit out on y'all real quick. Go ahead.
And so I just feel the urge to not only pray now, but pray constantly and to continuously over you, because I feel like if there's any way to get to me, they have to go through you. So I want to pray to strengthen you so that we can continue. And I know that, you know, since you are the head of the house, you follow in direction from God on how to lead us. And so you need to be strengthened on that so that we can follow you even more.
So you hear that? I want you to know that just because God has called us to be loving and leading, it does not mean that we still don't need to be covered. So that's a very powerful thing as we segue over from submissive wives and the strength of submission over into talking about the loving leading husband. Thank you for that. I love you for that, because it takes a lot of spiritual fortitude to be able to have that perspective and actually do it. And I seen this woman stand by my side as I endured, both as a best friend, and stand by my side continually and endure, actually from a support submissive posture, as I've endured so much. And I just praise God that He's allowed you to be His expression of love toward me in human form. So thank you. And see, we ain't afraid to be doting and loving on each other because we on this show, just to let you know. But anyway, so
that's West Side Ghetto.
That's West Side Ghetto. Yeah, you was East Side.
I like East Side better.
I came from the East Side, but then I was raised mostly on the West Side. I'm back on the East again, but I feel more West Sided. Okay, so let's talk about these husbands, because one of the things that I believe that the husband or the male presence in the household or really in the family structure has a lot of strength. It has a lot of purpose that God has specifically assigned to us. If you look at see, we'll pull out statistics. We're working on our doctorate degrees. She come from a master. What's your master's?
It's Human Services Counseling with an emphasis on executive leadership.
Okay. Human Services Counseling. So we come from a background where we have to really tie in like our research mind as well as our experience and our education to help give a very well-rounded, thank you, perspective of the situation. If you look at statistics, you'll find that people who are in prison because of violent crimes come from a lot of fatherless households. And so I believe that fatherless households actually happen because we have somewhere along the line the biblical principles have been broken down. And what I mean is that, you know, somewhere along the line, some woman and some man wasn't together because somewhere somebody did not obey God. I just want to make that clear. If we're in a relationship where we're sexual and having children, but there's no marriage, we didn't obey God. If we came together in a marriage and we got children and we have this family, but yet for some reason we decide to go our separate ways, somebody somewhere did not obey God. And so as we look at this, we recognize that there's both a husband and a wife. Come on, jump on in there. You got something to say?
You skipped over one of the things that's probably even more damaging than when the father isn't there, and is when the woman isn't submissive in the household and you are butting heads and the children see that in the household.
Okay. So those are also things that break down the family structure. So I hope that we'll be able to see that from this show. We're dealing with the family structure from different perspectives. You dealt with the submissive wives, and I'm going to deal with the leading loving husbands. The reason why I said leading and loving, first when you go to 5 and 23 of Ephesians, you find it say, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. 23, I'm sorry, it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. That means that God specifically has called you, young man or old man or whatever phase of life that you are, he's called us to be husbands and leaders. So first of all, if he's going to be the head means that in leadership, he's the leader. And so in leadership, there comes a lot of responsibility. To whom much is given, much is actually expected. So 5 and 25, it said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Danny, when I looked at that passage of scripture, you probably might remember this. I felt something that one time I preached this at Center of Spirit and Truth, because I thought that God was telling us to storge or eros our wives. But, you know, as I taught so many times before, that's easy. Eros is easy, man. She looked gorgeous. Eros is easy. And my wife is beautiful. So eros is really easy for me. But God here is not just saying eros, and eros is like a very romantic love. Storge is a family love. But instead, what God is actually saying here is to agape. So Christ loved the church with agape. For God so agape, or God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So the love that he has for us is unconditional love, and that's the command that God has given us here in Ephesians 5 and 25. If you love her as yourself, if you love her the way God has commanded us to love, there are certain things that we can't do to our wives. I mean, I can't talk to you like you know, with a lack of dignity and respect if I truly love you. I can't deal with the children that you've given me or that we've had together with a lack of respect and love, because I'll see you in those children, and ultimately I'll also see the image of God in those children as well. So love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So as this love parallels it, I say this all the time, I would die for my family. I would die for my wife if I had to. It's a very sacrificial love. There's some points in me that I actually give up in order to gain the best within our family. There's a lot of times where we, as men, we should be willing to sacrifice so that we can demonstrate the love that we have toward our families. It says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Back to that leading point again. If you are to sanctify and cleanse her by washing her with the water of the word, and that simply means being able to pour out, like from you should spring, from your belly should come living water. And that living water should be the word of God. And so if you love her the way God commanded us to love her, understand that another one of our roles is to lead, leading with the word. This is a very powerful point because a lot of us at times become very relativistic. We apply the word when we want to apply the word. We love God when it looks good or when it's fatty or when it's trendy. I've been around some people. I've been even in relationships where I've seen the other person lift their hands and swear that, you know, that they're so saved and sanctified and filled with the Spirit and be full of all kind of hell at the same time. We can't have these dualistic principles. As a man, we have to be able to lead and lead with the word, be able to pour into our wives. How can you pour into your wife the word if you don't know it?
That's good.
That was good.
I
preached that one.
I felt that.
You felt that. So we got to find ourselves somewhere submerged in the word. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will bring back those to our memory, all of those things that he commanded us. But guess what? He can't bring it back to your memory if you never studied it. Preach. So it's like you have to find yourself submerged in it so that you can be able to teach. The Bible says, train up a child in the way that she good. I know we're talking about the wife, but here it is. How can you train something if you've never sat in those principles and received them for yourself? How can you expound on the word of God and know it? The Bible says, study to show yourself approved. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The only way that you can rightly divide the word of truth, and in this case, the Bible is talking about dividing that word into or pouring that word into your wife, is if you've sat and you've learned. We get that confused. We want to be prophets and ministers and preachers and teachers and apostles and all of these elaborate titles. But the first thing we want to do is we want to go. God's first command to his disciple is never to go. His first command to them is to come. And so you come that you might receive of him, and that means basically learn of him, learn his word, learn his way. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. You need to know the mind of God before you can go. And then when you do go, you will have that fortification of the word to be able to do what it is and to teach what it is that God has called you to teach and do. Amen. So here we go. Verse 27, it says that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. Your preaching and teaching and your ability to build up your spouse as the loving, leading husband should be for her to have a closer walk and relationship with God. Now, see, that's both selfish for me. Can I be honest with you? That's selfish for me and unselfish at the same time. It's unselfish that I want you to grow in the word. I'm looking in her face and talking to her, y'all. I want you to grow in the word. But watch this. Here's the selfish point for that it is for me, because the more and more she grows in the word, the more and more she is able to submit. Now, watch this. The more and more I help her grow in the word, the more and more she finds the confidence to submit, because she recognizes that I'm not even asking you to submit just to me, but submit to me as we submit unto the Lord. You about to say something?
No, I was just pointing up.
Okay. Yeah, as unto the Lord. So ultimately it said that, you know, as this relationship parallels that with Christ's relationship with the church, see, Christ does all of these things that in order it might perfect us. Notice that it says present himself a glorious church. I want a glorious woman to be presented unto the Lord without spot, without wrinkle. It should be our greatest zeal to see our wives get saved, to see our wives purify their hearts, to see our wives actually bask in the glory and the presence of the Lord so that they might grow proficient in it, knowing it for themselves and to know it, means that you know what God's perspective is in how we lead our children, how we govern our household. What do I mean? Let me give you an example. I'm going to tell them about, you know, my issue with my daughter. I mean, very transparent. My daughter, and we come from a blended family. My daughter, and this is very personal, but my daughter says to me, she said, "Dad, you welcome, but your wife not." Whoa. Back up, pimp. Hold on. What you mean? I'm welcome, but my daughter's not. I looked my daughter in the face. She said, "I'm welcome, but my wife is not." I looked my daughter in the face and I told her, I said, "Listen, as much as I love you, if my wife isn't invited, I'm not coming. You can't invite me and not." And so, what's the reason for that? Hold on. Whoa, what are you saying? I'm saying that the unity between us have to look so pure. Not just look so. It have to be based on the Word of God. The Word of God says that no longer are we twain, but we are one flesh. So you don't invite her, you don't invite me. You disrespect her, you disrespect me. Now, where am I going with that? As far as pouring out the word. So when she knows the word, then she understands why I act like that, why I think like that, why I behave like that, is because I'm trying my best to live the word of God, which says that we are one flesh. It says, verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Wherever you are, if you're an abusive man, I want to tell you that right now, God is not pleased with you. God is not pleased with you. He teaches us to treat our bodies as a temple for the Holy Spirit. So whether you're abusing, you're abusive towards your family or to your wife emotionally or mentally or even physically, understand that you're not living the Word of God as it says right here in verse 28. Y'all gonna get me ghetto. I almost started clapping on that one. Did you see? I clapped. That was a half.
No, that was a silent, but it was still a clap.
That was a clap. Okay. So I'm gonna start clapping my syllables on this one, y'all. Verse 28 says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Love her as you love yourself. Now, let me tell you about how I love myself. You know, and my wife right here, she'll tell you, I get up, I trim my beard. Oh, my goodness. You know, I trim my mustache. I'm real meticulous with how I look. I want my hair to look a certain way. You know, I got my cologne because I like to feel good, look good, smell good. That's kind of my motto kind of thing. So quite naturally, if I love myself enough to be so careful with how I address myself, I respect myself, I try to carry myself with dignity and honor and respect, all those things, then so ought I have that same zeal toward my wife. Come on, it's right there in your own text, to love their own wives as their own bodies. You have to love her as much as you love her own self. I dare to say I love my wife more than I love my own self. He that loves his wife, watch this. Now, you want to find out how you like can love yourself? He that loves his wife, he loves himself. Why? Because how can you not love her if you are one? You are one. So if you allow her to be disrespected, if you allow her to be trampled on or run over, if you don't respect her, if you don't treat her right, if you abuse her in any type of way whatsoever, you're showing that you don't even love yourself. That'll preach. Verse 29, for no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it, same thing I was talking about, even as the Lord loved the church. For we as members of the body of his flesh and of his bones, that basically means that we all are part of this same family, this same body, cohesive body in the Lord. It said, for this cause, now watch this, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife. And they too shall be one flesh. Stop going to your mama, mama's boy. Your mama ain't got nothing to do with that relationship. She ain't got nothing to do with that marriage. The reason why the Bible teaches us to leave and to cleave is because now you form this new kind of entity, if you will, this new kind of family structure where you are supposed to be the head. As a man who leads and loves and does his leadership according to the biblical principle, you're going to find that there's a sacred space between you and your wife that nobody is supposed to pervade into. Mm-hmm. Your little girlfriends and your other friends, your homies. Come on, what else? Even wives. I know this is about the men. We gotta talk about
kids.
Yeah, even your kids. Now, here we come from a blended family, so our kids have tried to have influence on different aspects of our relationship, but you can't violate this sacred space. God has ordained this one. I'm sorry. So devil, you can go back to hell, because I got to tell you, you know, we speak power into this marriage because we know that God has ordained this. This is the real thing. And so husbands, as you understand this, know that you should have this continuity that is within your family and within your marriage that nobody should be able to come between, because you are one flesh. You are joined together with your wife. You have left the other family structure where someone was the head of you. Your father isn't the head here. As much as you love Mom Dukes, she's not the head here. They don't have say now. So now it's the structure of you are the head, the high priest in your household, and now you have your wife where you two come together and you harmonize one to another. That's Ephesians 5 and 21. But moving forward, it says that this is a great mystery. Paul is saying, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Not just your relationship, but also Christ and the church. If you claim you love God, honor your wife by loving her the way God has commanded us to love. Wife, if you say that you love God, I know sometimes it get hard. It's not always easy. I know he's a love machine, and sometimes you don't feel like it and you don't want to clean up, or perhaps there's certain things that he might bicker about, or husband, she might not like give you everything that you feel like you need, and sometimes it's hard and tough and you feel like the world beating down on you at the same time, and sometimes you have to come home and deal. Work them tensions out and understand who you are in Christ Jesus. It's a mystery, marriage is, the joining together of the husband and wife. I tell this story all the time when I preach, but the serpent didn't come and bother the man until he got a wife. You notice that? The whole time he was in the garden naming stuff and pruning trees and dealing with vegetation, and he was doing his job that God called him to do. But the minute that he went to sleep, woke up, and a woman was sitting right there, he said, hey, come here, let me talk to you for a second. Something to think about. It's a mystery that the enemy continuously tried to destroy. Let me prove it to you one more time before I get ready to get out your way. Before you got married, you probably didn't have half as much hell in your life. When y'all was dating, and some of us, we was having sex, and we was doing these things outside of the word and will of God. Oh my goodness, it felt wonderful. Dating was awesome. Some of us dated for years, and we did this shuck and jive game for years. But then when we got married, that's when the feces hit the oscillator. Why is that? It happens like this simply because it's a mystery. It's a mystery that the enemy wants to try to break up. He wants to try to dissolve. The enemy isn't just trying to attack the individual person. He's trying to attack generations and families. And how do we do it? We break apart the husband and the wife. We break down the man, pull him out of the household, so now his children will go rampant in the streets. As his children go rampant in the streets, they end up in prison, teenage pregnancy. We begin to cut down different things in their lives. So today we would just admonish you on today to just continue to think about, from a biblical perspective, the loving and leading husband. Pray for your loving, leading husband. Listen, that's been our time. We would like to thank you for another Theologically Speaking. I'm Jose.
I'm Danielle.
God bless you, and we love you all. Thank you.